Siobhan, you're welcome to the show and thanks for joining me in business.
Thank you.
So I suppose just to start off, you might talk us through, I suppose, what impact the skill shortage is having on growth.
Absolutely. We're very lucky in the Irish economy. The labour market is just increasing in size and the quality of jobs that we have available. But there appears to be a mismatch in the economy at the moment, and areas of specific demand are things like accountancy and finance, engineering, healthcare and technology. So what we're finding, candidates in the area of most demand within the economy, which is actually conflicts with what you hear about AI and the economy. The impact of AI on the economy and on particular sectors tends to be fairly overstated, if I'm honest.
Okay, that's very interesting. And it's interesting as well that those are the areas that are most impacted by the skill shortage as well. And obviously, like, that is going to have a long-term impact as well if we don't address it, I can imagine, Siobhan.
Absolutely. Now, we are very lucky in the Irish economy that there is so much skills provision, whether it's the university sector, whether it's the technical universities, and also in the further education and training sector. And thanks be to God, it's very easy for the supply to be adjusted because an awful lot of these courses already exist. So an awful lot of the time when it comes to our children, I believe, insert student myself in the house, the opportunity to educate them as to where they can go to upskill, it's quite significant. But the part of the problem is the awareness of what's actually out there and what's free of charge.
Yeah. And I suppose given the skill shortage then and the fact that I suppose hiring is still taking place, but our employers may be struggling to fill permanent roles then, or what are you noticing in that area? Is it more temporary roles that we're seeing that are being filled, or how is it working?
There's 750 licensed agencies in the Irish recruitment market, and we surveyed all of them. And what we did find, there's three different types of recruitment: permanent hires, which obviously have no end duration, temporary assignments, and also contract assignments where somebody's a self-employed contractor and they provide services on a company-to-company basis. So what we have in the demand for permanent hiring, and that is essentially a reticence on the part of employers to make a long-term commitment with no end date to bringing new hires into their organisation. But there has been a slowdown in the permanent commitment in the sectors that we discussed. There's definitely a skills shortage in accountancy and finance still, engineering, healthcare and technology. So it tends to be that an employer will take somebody on a contract basis or on a temporary basis rather than operate on a permanent full-time basis at the moment. So it's just that reticence is coming not just from the skills mismatch, but also turmoil and the fear in the economy as a result of geopolitics, as a result of the cost of inputs like oil and electricity and those kind of things. So that from our perspective is slightly concerning.
Yeah, okay, that's obviously understandable as well. When we talk about then vacancy rates, maybe, Siobhan, what level are they at now?
They're still quite high. I mean, it's remarkable to try and describe the financial crash to a teenager at the moment, or the fact that there was high long-term unemployment in the Irish economy when the economy has been growing year on year for at least in the last 10 years. And the people coming into Ireland, emigrating to Ireland, they're so needed. He has a labour force at the moment of 2.1 million people, which is absolutely extraordinary. So it's to try and explain it to somebody who didn't live through it, the kind of strength and resilience the Irish labour market has had over the course of the last 10 years. But no, it is still a very strong economy. We are still the fastest growing economy within the European Union. But all we're saying is there's some headwinds in terms of permanent recruitment. But there's still anybody who wants a job should be able to find a job in this economy.
Okay, which is quite good. But I suppose, and this might be a difficult one to answer, Siobhan, but why do you think the talent pool isn't keeping pace then?
Well, if you look at the amount of our young people that are, you know, traveling the world or going to Australia, my own daughter's in Australia at the moment, you have the demand on the CAO for the different courses and what the colleges make available. And you have international students, thanks be to God, coming to Ireland as well to take up those places. But sometimes it's very, very hard to predict what part of the economy is going to demonstrate the most growth. Now, there's some really good work done by Sulis in their labour market unit, where they try to assess demand from, you know, people retiring to be replaced, or where there's going to be emergent demand, but it's not an exact science.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. And in terms of, we'll say, a business or an organisation maybe not being able to secure the right person with the right skills and the necessary skills that are needed for a particular role, what kind of an impact does that have on a business then, Siobhan, when they hire someone just to fill the role but they don't have those right skills?
Making a bad hire is an incredibly expensive decision. So you're either left in a situation whereby you have to pay a company for services, which would obviously have a premium, versus somebody who's working on a permanent full-time basis for yourself. And my recommendation would be to find a specialist recruitment company in the area that you're interested in, whether it's accountancy and finance, whether it's engineering. There's always going to be an agency that has talent on their books. Where AI is having an extraordinary impact is the amount of applications employers are having to deal with from candidates using AI. So to actually have somebody who has met and vetted a candidate, it saves an inordinate amount of work. So what we are finding, ironically, is that more companies are coming directly back to recruitment agencies because they know that they've met a person, that they've vetted a person, they know they have a right to work, they know that they've, you know, a bank account in their own name. They know that they have the skills necessary to do the job. So in that regard, my advice would always be to go to a reputable agency and to make sure that they have an agency license.
Yeah, okay. And in terms of, you know, hiring that person, I suppose it's not the right fit and doesn't have the right skills. I know you mentioned that it was costly for a business as well, but it also probably has a knock-on effect as well and can impact on other employees, I can imagine.
Absolutely. Culture within an organization is vitally important. And I suppose where I come from is most jobs require discretionary effort on the part of the employee. And to my mind, in my business life, profit lies in discretionary effort. If you have a skills mismatch within your organization and it's causing friction, it will impact profitability. So it is really important that you have the right skill mix within your business. I'd also like to draw your attention to the services that are available to businesses to upskill their employees. And those services provided free of charge can come from your local education and training board. If you look at Kerry Education and Training Board, they have a program called Skills to Advance, mm-hmm. which provides upskilling directly to employees within a business in shorter courses. And if you go on to the services for business in Kerry Education and Training Board, they will, chances are, be able to help you with your requirements. And again, the problem sometimes is awareness of what's available for businesses and what our employer PRSI funds. So to understand how to access it can sometimes be the answer to your business problem.
Yeah. And it sounds like from talking to you, because I was going to ask you about that as well, is reskilling maybe and retraining and looking at different areas where we can improve, is that the best way to tackle this issue?
It very much is. Lifelong learning is something that we all need to get used to. And there's always a way to upskill. And the beauty of it is those courses, they can be specific to an employee. There's also a SkillNet funding, and there's SkillNets all around the country by sector and also by geography, where you can access subsidised training for your people as well. But I was having a conversation with my 18-year-old at the weekend about the changes in the workforce during my time in it. Mm-hmm. I'm 50 years of age, he's 18. I tried to explain to him how a fax machine worked. So I've had fax machines, I've had cassette tapes, I've had vinyl. And he said, was the vinyl ironic? I said, no, it was actually vinyl. Then we moved to CDs, to DVDs, to iPods. And now we're in the age of Spotify and, you know, a phone to my ear. When I got my first iPhone, I couldn't make a call on it because I didn't know what button to press. Yeah. Because it was so intuitive that it was completely different than anything we'd experienced before. But I constantly engage in understanding, you know, whether it's a course on AI, whether it's understanding what legislation is coming up. But we as an economy and as a culture need to embrace the fact that we are going to be learning continuously for the rest of our lives, just to keep pace and to make sure of our own relevancy.
Yeah, absolutely. And just before we finish up, do you feel, I suppose, like, you know, you've gone through it there and we have so many different opportunities available to us in fairness in terms of being able to upskill it and to take on, you know, undertake courses and things like that just to better ourselves, I suppose, and to learn new skills. Do you think that we will achieve that and that more people will take on these reskilling opportunities and those maybe challenges we're facing at the moment that they might be resolved to a certain degree anyway?
Absolutely. I think in the Irish economy, we've demonstrated as a people and as an economy that we are resilient, we're innovative. Irish people and the success of the multinational sector. It's not just that they're multinational jobs, it's the Irish ability to communicate, to innovate, to collaborate and to learn new skills. So I think the Irish economy is one of the most dynamic in union. Helped us to make sure that we're match fit for any opportunities that present themselves to us and that we're constantly opportunity scanning just to make sure that we have the skills, knowledge, experience and attitude to maximise our potential.
Absolutely. Well, Siobhan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me this evening. It's been lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks, Amber.